Recently, we released the 40th episode of Here Be Monsters. That episode is called The Reformation Bible Puritan Baptist Church, and it's all about the leader of a church that is strongly anti-papal and white supremacist. If you haven't heard that episode already, or if you just want a refresher, go ahead and pause this episode and give episode 40 a listen before you continue on. At the end of episode 40, we asked for your thoughts and your concerns and your questions, and a lot of you responded. Of the many emails we received, the two that stuck out the most were from listeners Anise Hotchkiss of Ithaca, New York, and L. Farmer of Savannah, Georgia. I don't want to be biased by picking who's to read first, so I've got a coin with me here, and if it lands heads, I'm going to read the response from Anise first, and if it lands tails, I'm going to read L's email first. Okay. Alright, this email is from L. Farmer. L wrote in to argue that it is appropriate in some circumstances to hate people who hate others. She writes, "This episode brings up a very interesting issue, whether it is appropriate to hate people because they are, as we deem it, bad. The trouble I see with posing this question is that it omits the difference between hate as a source of power and hate as a source of survival. When it comes to someone like a cisgendered heterosexual white male, whose belief structure is based on violent white supremacy, I am of the opinion that his hatred gives him power, and our culture is set up to validate him at every turn, validating his, quote, extreme beliefs that are actually fairly institutionalized in practice. That guy despises someone like me just for existing, and so does most of society and its structures. When I hate a man like him, I'm not equalizing myself with him, because my hatred comes from a place of self-defense and survival. To hate someone who hates me for existing is to remind myself that I am worthy of life, love, and happiness. Like a racist joke or a misogynistic law, hatred from an oppressor class aims downwards. It uses cultural or legal power to harm others, whereas if my hatred can harm at all, it has no force of culture or law behind it. It cannot harm in the way his can. Hatred is, in and of itself, a form of violence. We shouldn't define violence as a simplistic model of Joe hits Frank. Instead, we need to recognize that any violation of human rights is a violent act. So when it comes to reinforcing a dominant power structure, hatred of the oppressed class is a primary tool for otherizing them and justifying inequity and more extreme forms of violence. Fear serves a similar purpose, and we can see its effects in the way Muslim Americans are widely feared, and how this fear is bolstered and exploited by those in power to further strip away their safety and autonomy. Self-defense, as we understand it, is a resistance against unjustified violence, and that organized hatred which reinforces dominant power structures is a type of violence in and of itself. Therefore, hating someone backwards up the chain of violence is a proportional response. That isn't to argue that it would be appropriate to say hit the guy with your car because he says bigoted things, because that's more of a discussion about the correct proportional response in any given case. Love the podcast. Thanks for working so hard on this episode and all the others. Cheers, L. Farmer from Savannah, Georgia. The other email that I want to read comes from Anise Hotchkiss, who argues that it is never appropriate to hate, even if it's in response to other hatred. She writes, "I think the most powerful thing that you can do in life is be compassionate. Compassion isn't passive or mamsy-pamsy, it's actually very hard to do. Hating and demonizing someone is so much easier. Compassion is not mutually exclusive from anger. One can be enraged with horrific actions or circumstances, but still be compassionate towards those who have committed those horrors. Being compassionate also doesn't prevent you from giving consequences to the perpetrators, but it can also allow you to take in the full context of that person, their history, and their pain, rather than giving them blanket punishments. I strongly believe that those who commit horrors are acting from a great deal of pain or because they suffer from terrible mental illness. Underneath the bravado, Eric is a very scared man, and he's doing everything possible to not deal with the central vulnerability that comes from being alive. This is something that everyone does, and some to more extremes than others. I can identify with his feelings of fear and vulnerability because I do it myself. But in doing so, I don't have to identify with his views. Ostracizing or demonizing someone rarely causes them to transform their pain into healing or addresses the mental illness that plagues them. The best chance of transforming someone is from a place of compassion, and I think about the story of Rabbi Weiser and Larry Trapp. Larry Trapp was the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan in Nebraska, and he was trying to terrorize Weiser into moving away. Through persistent compassion, Weiser befriended Larry and helped him to leave the KKK and make amends before his death. Not only was Larry changed, but the rabbi was changed as well. Hatred and demonization doesn't do that. So I really appreciate that compassion was the stance that you took at the end of the Phelps show, but it did bother me that you almost had to apologize for taking that position. In our media and politics, drama is what rules the day, and responding to hatred with hatred gets more attention because it's more drama. Compassion is such a rare stance that needs to be taken more. I can appreciate you wanting to be humble about your decision and laying out your own struggle, but I hope that you might feel more confident with it in the future. The world needs more confident compassion. Thanks. Anise Hotchkiss, Ithaca, New York. And there you have it. Two interesting and provocative responses to episode 40. We still want to hear what you think about this and other episodes, so send us your thoughts on our website, that's hbmpodcast.com, and just click the contact link at the top of the page. Our website is also where you can find a link to the full story that Anise mentioned about the rabbi who forgave his attacker from the KKK. Again, that's at hbmpodcast.com. Also, remember that you can listen to Here Be Monsters, the entire back archive, for free on iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud or anywhere else that good podcasts live. Visit our How to Listen page to find out more ways you can hear the show. Also, I just wanted to give you a heads up on an exciting bit of Here Be Monsters news that's just come down the pipe. We've just received confirmation that there's going to be a live Here Be Monsters show, and that's the first one ever. It's going to be in Brooklyn this spring. And I can't tell you too much right now. I can tell you that it's going to be about stories of war and about outer space and about ghosts and New Age spirituality, all kind of wrapped up into a live show experience that isn't going to be quite like anything else you've ever heard or seen. As soon as tickets are available, we'll put up a post on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/HereBeMonstersRadio. And that's how you can stay in the know. And one last thing before we go here, just wanted to remind you that Here Be Monsters is currently on season break while we prepare season 4, which is going to be great and more inventive and more creative than anything else we've put out. We're also in the process of pitching various podcast networks and radio stations so that the show can get picked up, so that the people who volunteer their time on this project can hopefully start turning this show into a viable career in podcasting. If there is a podcast network or a radio station that you would like Here Be Monsters to be aired on, just go ahead and send them an email. Just something kind and short, and just say why you like the show. Doing that is so much more helpful than just about anything else in the world. Here Be Monsters is produced by myself, Jeff Entman, along with help from our story editor, Bethany Denton, and our producer in training, Grant Sprintz. We have a lot of great things simmering on the back burners right now, and we're really excited to share them with you. So that's all for now, but thanks for listening. More episodes soon.